So, dear God, this morning we come. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to Calvary's cross we cling. May we experience your blessings this morning. May we experience Christ in a new and living way. May he alone be glorified. Hide me behind Calvary's cross. May the Holy Spirit be so thick in this place and may smother every opposing spirit. May our hearts be blessed, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. It's been a rough week for me. My wife will tell you. And it's been challenging with some health issues. But God is good. This morning, I normally would have songs every morning, playing in the background. And this morning, a song played, which doesn't usually play, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I said, well, thank you, Lord, because I wasn't sure, Pastor Bernardo knows, I wasn't sure if I was going to be here this morning. And the song played, it touched my heart, I had to repeat it. And then as we're driving, we're listening to the radio, family radio plays beautiful hymns. We have it on, and guess what song is playing as we turn it on? "It Is Well With My Soul." I said, God, thank you. Thank you. You're speaking to me now. And then we had special music. My wife knows, just a little while ago, and I told them I'm going to just share a word about that. That's maybe, I would say, every morning that song is played in my house. Every morning without fail, that song is played in my house. Most likely the first song to be played every single morning. The power of the cross. And I said, Lord, well, now I know you're really speaking to me. Because you're really encouraging me. It is well because of the cross. And so this morning, as we spend a few minutes talking, I want to just a quick on the announcements here. I want to apologize. Last week we had, and Nancy did specify, but some of you may have missed it, the Bible study which I do on Thursday, it's on Thursday evenings. Last week it said Tuesday in the bulletin. And some, I believe somebody or buddies tried to log in on Tuesday. My wife came and told me that at least one or two people were trying to log in on Tuesday, unfortunately. And she tried to reach the numbers, but she wasn't able to reach who it was or whoever they were. So I really apologize for that, but it's on Thursday evenings at 5:30 on the Book of Romans. Now it's correct in the bulletin. So please take note of that. All right, so this morning, we are going to be spending a little bit of time talking about seated with Christ. Now, when the Lord gave me this title, because I did not, I never know what I'm going to preach on when the Lord calls me to speak. I just ask him to give me direction, and he always does. So this morning we are going to be sitting with, speaking about seated with Christ and sitting with Christ in the heavenly. One of my favorite topics to talk about. Tania was an 18-year-old girl living in St. Louis. I never met Tania, but one of my friends, good friends, he baptized Tania in St. Louis back in just after about 2006, 2007. But Tania had a story before Tania came to know the Lord. Tania was living with her parents who were drug addicts and alcoholics. And they really, it was an abuse for sure, because neglect is an abuse. And for many years, Tania lived in that home with her abusive parents. And it was so bad that they used to get water because they had no water in the house. They had to get water from the gas station next door to cook and take baths and other things. But somehow the Lord reached out into that house. Yes? And Tanya somehow found herself at a Revelation seminar. And Tanya came to know the Lord. And God was able to snatch Tanya in the midst of all that adversity to come to know him. And Tanya became one of the most beautiful Christians you would ever want to meet. Tanya became a Bible worker working for the Lord. Tanya began to understand that even though she had an address that was not the best address in the world, but she experienced what it means to sit with Christ in the heavenly. And so, as we go on, go on to our next slide now. Job tells us, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. That's right. Not one. Job chapter 14, verse 4. Not one. Except you, O God. And so, you know, many times we are prone to think that we are not that bad. But folks, I come to report this morning that we are that bad. And worse than we could ever think or imagine. We are so bad that there is nothing we could do to save ourselves. We like to try. We like to try, but the way that seems right to a man are the ways of death. And so God is not able to do anything good with sinful flesh. Yes? And left to ourselves, God cannot function, or God cannot do anything that is of any benefit. Except he does what we cannot do. And that is what God does. So enter Christ. You see, because man cannot by himself understand spiritual things. The carnal mind cannot appreciate the things of God. So Christ came, yes, and in our nature, holding on, we are told, to the mighty throne of God with his one hand and holding on all humanity with the other hand, he was able to bring redemption to humans. And this is why our righteousness is of him. Our righteousness left to ourselves is filthy rags. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do anything that is right except we abide in Christ. And so Romans, thank you. Let me just say, is it Everest who read the lesson? Thank you so much for reading the lesson. Romans chapter 6, right? Verses 6 to 10. And this is going to be our main text. We're going to spend a lot of time here today. So please keep your Bibles open to Romans chapter 6. And verse 6 says, knowing what? That our old man is crucified with him, yes? That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth, we should not serve sin. Now, we could try to define sin as the breaking of the law, transgression of the law, yes? That's what the Bible defines sin as over there in 1 John chapter 3, yes? But bottom line is, sin is self-loving. As a matter of fact, the reason why we try to keep the law in our own strength is because we think we could do it. We love ourselves so much, we think we're better than that. We could keep the law. But we are told that we were crucified with him, the old man. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. As a matter of fact, Paul in his writings, especially in the book of Romans, because Paul never had the chance to go to Rome to Rome to preach. He went there as a prisoner, but not to preach. And so he had to write an extensive letter. That is why the book of Romans is so powerful, because if you could appreciate the book of Romans, you could pretty much appreciate the entire gospel. And so Paul has a way of putting a death nail to our pride. He says, man, you are dead to sin. Man, please, you left to yourself, you are the old man, but thank God that he crucified you with Christ so that you should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Yes? How many of you have been to a funeral? I'm sure we all have, right? How many of you have, sometimes they have the casket, maybe at the funeral home or at the church somewhere, you know, people have the viewing. And how many of you, I don't recommend it, you might get beat down by the family, but how many of you think if you punch that person in the casket, how many of you think they'll punch you back? That person is dead, right? They can, if you pinch them, they can't. Say, for example, that person likes to drink beer. Now, we don't do that in this church, right? But maybe Uncle Joe somewhere, you know, and somebody takes a bottle of beer, 1040 or whatever they call it, take a 40 to the funeral home and say, hey, Joe, I got one for you for the road. How many of you think Joe is going to stretch out and grab that 40 from him? So that Joe is dead, right? So then if you are dead to sin, sin no longer has dominion over you. And so if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ had been raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him, and hence no more dominion over you and me. For in that he died unto sin once. And in that he liveth unto God. It doesn't matter who you are, Jew or Gentile, you cannot save yourself. Christ, therefore, had to die in your place. But know this for sure, when he died, you died with him. He was not the sinner. He became sin for you. But that means that he took you into himself. God put you in the Son. So when he went to the cross, you were crucified with him. And you died. And now you live to newness of life. And so, my friends, the question then is this good news or is this fake news? I am crucified with Christ. Is that what it says? I am. In other words, are you here right now? You are. You are in the church, right? In the sanctuary. So if God says through Paul, I am crucified with Christ, is that true? Okay. Why do we find it so hard to believe it? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Now, your Bible might say faith in the Son of God. That is not what the original says. Your faith in God is not the way you live. It's not how you live. That is not what gives you life. You live because of his faith. And so the King James is correct in that area. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a reality. God is not simply because God says it that makes it so. God says it is so because it is so. You are crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. It is a fact. And God doesn't try to make believe. He doesn't try to tell you something which is not there. We have to accept it by faith. In fact, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not doesn't exist. It is not seen. But if something that doesn't exist doesn't give evidence, if it gives evidence, that means it exists. You just don't see it. And if you don't see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're not real. They're not there. Or if they're there, they're not they're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So when God says, you are dead in Christ, the old man is buried in that tomb, you should believe it, I should believe it, and take it as fact, because God doesn't play games with us. It is real news, and it is good news that you're crucified with Christ. In fact, left to himself, Christ would have never died, right? Because he's God. The divine nature cannot die. But because Christ became you, became me, Christ became us, therefore he was subject to death. But thank God that he still had the divine presence with him. He was fully man, fully God. He holds onto God's throne with one hand, and he holds onto humanity as man's representative with the other hand. And he became sin for us. And so Romans tells us in chapter 6, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead. In other words, this is not a game. You are dead. Reckon it. Think about it. Consider it. It is true. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Faith follows facts. We need to understand this foundational truth before we could take the next step to receiving Christ into our hearts and lives. And then Christ could come and dwell within us and lift us up to higher ground. And so I pray that we would consider this today as we move along. It says, why am I crucified with Christ? Why? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ was made sin for us. In other words, he had to be made as we are. Otherwise, he would not be a complete savior. You need somebody who understands what you're going through. You need somebody who understands what it means to be tempted. And therefore, he was tempted in some points like as we are. Oh. Did I say something wrong? In all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. So while he became as we are, he had a mind that was not corrupted by sin. He chose to have his Father dwell in his mind at all times. That's why we admonish, let this mind be in you, not this flesh. Because he took upon himself our flesh. But let this mind be in you. Paul never said, let this flesh be in you. Because why would he say that? It was not the flesh that needed to be pure. The flesh was not pure. The mind is what needs to be pure. So the mind could keep the flesh under subjection. And Christ demonstrated that by his life, by his death, and by his resurrection. Because death could not hold him in the grave, because death had no power over the mind of God. And so, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in what? In the likeness. That word likeness there, the Greek word is hamoima. Hamoima. That word means identity. In the identity of what? Of sinful flesh. Now, if you have identical twins, well, can you tell them apart? They're identical. When you follow the entire process from conception onwards, They are completely identical in every way. And so Christ took upon himself our identity, and therefore, he was able to condemn sin in the flesh. Now, if sin was not in the flesh, then he didn't have to condemn it. But he condemned sin in the flesh, meaning that he took upon himself that flesh which was present at the time. And in that flesh, he conquered sin, and that is a victory for you and me. And I say praise God for that, because I have a Savior who understands what it is like to have sin in the flesh, and he conquered sin in the flesh. Therefore, because of that, the righteousness of the law, because you see, the law was not weak. I am weak. Because I am weak, the law cannot do anything for me. The law cannot save me. It is righteous, it is holy, but it cannot do anything for me because I am all unholy. And so Christ comes and in my flesh conquers sin, that the right doing of the law may be accomplished with me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, my friends, the righteousness of God is the righteousness of the law. And only Christ has been able ever to walk this earth and do it. And so if you and I must do it, we better do it in Christ. And that is why God put us in Christ. God did an objective act. You weren't there, I wasn't there. God put us in Christ without us asking, and thank God he did. God put us in Christ from the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. And so, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ Jesus, by whom the world is what? Is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, when Christ died, he didn't just pay for sin. He also did something with us. The world is crucified unto me. It doesn't stop there. And I unto the world. So which means though I live in this world, though my address, like Tanya in St. Louis, though her address is in this world, yes, the world is not in her, or it's not in you or me. Because why? We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So I could be here right now, but I'm not here. Because I am in Christ, who is seated in the heavenly places. By the way, that word places is actually provided. It's not there in the original. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly. And because I am there, it doesn't matter what is happening down here. My mind is built on nothing less. And so, my friends, as we see our world, our country going downhill with such rapidity, downhill, this thing is not coming back. I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone, and she was saying to me, I can't wait for things to get back. I'm like, get back to what? I said, you see, this downward slope is just, this thing is going to be a disaster. It's disaster moving forward. It's been going this way for years. The Bible tells us this. We know this is Adventist. And if you don't know it because you're not in the church, well, the Lord is calling you into his church and into his faith. Because this thing is going down. This ship is going down. So you are not of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. On things above. That is why you are told to lay up for yourselves treasures where you are seated. You want to know that you are where your treasure is, and your treasure is where you are. If your treasure is at Wells Fargo, maybe I guess you have a seat over there. But I want to be where my treasure is, and I want to be with him. I am just passing through. And so, friends, what happens after crucifixion? Romans chapter 6, we're there. Romans chapter 6. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we what? Shall also live with him. Do you believe this? Is this a fairy tale? Are we accusing God of make-believe? No, I'm serious, because many times people take the word of God and say, well, I guess maybe sometime later, I guess maybe, no. Do you accept the word of God that you are made alive in Christ and you sit with him right now as we speak in the heavenlies? Because either you're an evolutionist who believes in process and maybe one day I'll get there, or you could be right now with Christ by faith in the heavenly. For in that he died unto sin once. He paid the price completely. Death no more has dominion over him, and it doesn't have over you. Because in that he liveth unto God. He lives to glorify God, and God doesn't die. And so he lives, and he lives, and he lives, and because he lives, I live. And because he lives, I could face tomorrow because I live with him in the heavenly. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ, unto God through Jesus Christ. In other words, don't ever try to get yourself outside of Jesus. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living being, a living soul. The last man, or the last Adam, became a quickening spirit, or life-giving spirit. In other words, Adam had what we call the bios life after his sin, the bios life, B-I-O-S. That's the life that dies. Christ has the life that never dies. The life of God. The Zoe life, Z-O-A. That's the life that Christ has. And you, because you are dwelling in him, because that's where God put you, as long as you accept it by faith and never try to get yourself outside of Christ, you remain in Christ, and it doesn't matter your circumstances, you dwell with him in the heavenly. This life doesn't cause you to sin or to keep on sinning. You know, people, I don't understand people, why people think that grace is this thing that causes people to, that gives people freedom to sin. If grace does that, then I don't understand why Christ had to come. Because Christ came to show us God's grace. And he came to do away with our sin. He shall save the people in their sin. From their sin. So grace does not give us license to continue to break God's law. Christ died that the right doing of the law, not in your strength, but will be accomplished in his strength. And so you abide in him and you keep the law of God. And so Christ became to us as the second Adam, a quickening spirit. I like that word, quickening. Yo! Go! Ephesians chapter 2, our current position. Even when we were dead in sin, yes? Hold on a second. Were you dead in sin? Because again, we have to get this to sink in our heads that we are not as good as we think we are. I remember my wife would tell you, there was a lady who got offended because I used to preach at another church in Arizona, that we are that bad. And one day she got up and I don't like when you say we are that bad. I'm not that bad. I have some good in me. I'm like, lady, can you give me a text? I say, I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight. I say, just give me a text and I would accept what you have to say. I'm still waiting for the text. Give me a scripture text that shows that any good, a sliver of good is found in me. So we are dead in our sins, but alive in Christ, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. What does together mean? Anybody? Well, by faith, but what does it mean? If I'm going with you together to the store, what does it mean? We are going together, right? We are like one. What you're doing is what I'm doing, right? So if I'm in Christ and I go with him together wherever he goes, and he's right now in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, where am I? Where he is, right? Together means together. So stop talking about, well, I'm just, you know, how is your day? Oh, I'm just pulling through. Oh, I'm just surviving. Oh man. What? What kind of heavenly places is that? I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I want to be somewhere where I'm conquering the day. I'm a house of the man. God is good, man. Yes, my hand hurts. Yes, I've been sick all week. Yes, but God is good. I could stand here and proclaim his word. I live with him in heavenly places. And so, he raised us up, not to leave us down here, to continue to breathe this foul miasma of sin and a sinful world. No! He doesn't want us to breathe this thing anymore. He wants us to breathe the heavenlies, the heavenly atmosphere. And that's what he promises us, the more abundant life in Christ. I came that you may have life, but not just life, but life in its abundance. If you want to experience eternal life, you better start experiencing it right now. You better experience the abundant life right now. Don't wait till you get to heaven. You will not get there if you don't have it right here. And so, I remember one of my friends, my wife and I, during the COVID time, his wife called us in Southern California. At the time, we were in Arizona. His wife called us, and he had COVID, a bad case. And he didn't want to go to the hospital because he thought it was a death trap, right? And we understand what going to the hospital meant in those days, right? I mean, you get in and, yeah, you go in one way, you come out another way, right? The morgues were filled up. They had to have, you know, I mean, morgues outside of the hospitals and all kind of craziness. And he didn't want to go. But his oxygen was going down to 70s. I said, brother, you got to go. I said, you're going to die either way. I said, maybe in the hospital, people do survive. I said, but you stay home, you will die. And so he went. Sadly, he didn't make it. He didn't make it. But my point is, the moment people are in the hospital with COVID, the moment they get better, we don't leave them there to continue to bask in this foul, messy, breathing this messy atmosphere of with other COVID patients. The moment they get better, we shoot them home to go spend time with their loved ones. When Christ died for our sins, he did not leave us here in this foul miasma of sin and evil. He took us with him together. Amen. To be with him, right, in the heavenly. Amen. Breathing Because the air we breathe, let me read that quote. I'm going to get to that quote in a minute here, but let me get to this slide. I'm going to get to that quote. I'm getting all excited. But of him, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him, right, are you in Christ, who of God is made to us, unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Again, this is something that God did. Period, full stop. Without you, it is unprovoked. You didn't influence it. God did it because he did it because of his great love wherewith he loves you and wherewith he loves me. Even while we were dead in trespasses and sin, even when we were enemies of God, he loved us before we even became enemies of him. Knowing fully well the wretchedness that would happen to humanity. And he loved us still and made a plan to save us even before sin came into the world. And so Christ is made unto us wisdom. Yes? You want wisdom? Don't ask God for wisdom. That's not your first prayer. Ask God for Jesus. Because he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and salvation and sanctification and redemption. You want any of these? Get Jesus. And when you get Jesus, you dwell with him where he is. And you have all the benefits that he gives you. You know, I like this song that says, I can't remember the song now, but some of the lines say, two wonders I confess. I think we need the cross of Jesus. Two wonders I confess. The wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. Oh, redeeming love. Hallelujah. Jesus died for us, rose again for us, and then did not leave us in the tomb, but carried us together with him into the heavenlies. And we are seated in him in heavenly places. Me, unworthy though I be. Hallelujah. And so, as we read the slide now, this is where I was going. John 17, verse 15. I pray not, this is Jesus Christ now praying for his disciples and for all of us. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Whoa! Do you know that the only way that Christ could keep you from the evil is if you sit with him in the heavenlies? Do you know that if you drag yourself, you literally have to literally drag yourself and pull yourself and pull and force your way out of Christ? Do you know that if you force your way out of Christ, that you do not dwell with him up there? You dwell down here? Completely. And do you know what happens down here? If Christ had to pray that prayer, it's because he knows what happens down here. Man, it is evil like you have never seen. And if you think you're good and Mrs. Gooder and Mr. Gooder, and you think that the people on the news are worse than you, given enough time and the right, wrong circumstances, nothing could keep you from doing the exact same thing or worse. This is why God put you and me in Christ. Because he knows who we are. He knows how filthy our minds are. Stay in Christ, my friends. Stay in Christ. They are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. God doesn't deal simply with grace, God deals with grace and truth. People talk about grace. Oh, grace, grace, grace. Yes, grace. They are, like Sister, not her name, Sister Doris talked about this morning over there in Sabbath school. We have grace that saves us, but we also have grace that keeps us in the Christian walk. Grace, you need grace every single day. His grace is always sufficient. Ah, my friends, his strength is made perfect in your weakness. You better be weak to be made strong. If you think you're strong, oh, my friends, you're going the wrong way. You need to be weak. You need to be so weak that you can't even get yourself out of bed. That's right. For you are dead, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you were dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. With Christ in God. It is all of him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then. Right now, you don't want to appear. You don't want to appear. Because you are, sometimes people search in the church. Sometimes people walk through that door and we appear and they never come back. Let Christ appear. Amen. Every time. Amen. In the store, when did you see the long lines? Yes? When you see the gas price, have mercy. When you watch the news, oh, have mercy, Lord, on me. When you drive on the highway, let Christ and Christ alone appear. Sit with him in the heavenly places. Yes. When it says, who is our life shall appear, then you shall appear. You shall appear then because you have been made like he is. He has done his mighty work in you. You are now as he is. Then you can appear. Because now you are thinking the way he thinks. So you do like he does. But until then, your life is hidden Christ with God. Steps to Christ. Steps to Christ, page 68. She was thinking about this heavenly atmosphere. And she says, in the matchless gift of his son. In the what? Much less gift of his son, God has encircled us, the whole world, with an atmosphere of grace as real. Man, listen, this thing is real as the air which circulates around the globe. You understand that if you stop breathing right now, Like Joe in the coffin, if he's dead, that doesn't mean that the air does not exist. That just means that he stopped breathing. So if you stop breathing, the heavenly atmosphere, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It does mean that you chose to not breathe anymore the heavenly atmosphere. You choose to breathe this foul miasma of sin and rottenness and putrefaction. All who choose, all who what? So there's a choice here. Oh, God has given it to you, but you better make sure you receive it. All who choose to breathe the life-giving atmosphere will live and grow up to the stature of men and women. Oh, period? No. In Christ Jesus. Man, it is always in Christ Jesus. If I go to a Bible study or to a church and the pastor preaches a sermon or there is a Bible study or a Sabbath school lesson, if Christ is not mentioned in every word, I don't want to listen to anything. If that preacher speaks two lines and doesn't mention Christ, I don't want to hear it. Because Christ has to be seen all over the place. If you open your Bible, I was, you know, my Bible study, which I conduct on Thursday evenings, we're talking about Christ in the Old Testament. And people sometimes don't see him there. They don't see him there. Because, well, he's not called Christ in the Old Testament, but he is all over the place. In fact, an old preacher used to say, some of you know, anytime you open the Bible, it doesn't matter where you land, look for Jesus. You end up in Numbers, look for Jesus. People say Numbers. Yeah, look for Jesus. You end up in Exodus, look for him. I mean, if you don't see him, it is not because he's not there. You just need to keep looking with prayer. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. Because he is all over the place. He is all over the place. And so, friends, we have experienced this quickening life of Christ. Now we don't want to keep this thing to ourselves. We want to let other people know that this thing is real. Now, I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter 1 in the New Living Translation. I'm not a huge fan of the New Living Translation, but sometimes I compare different translations so that I could, you know, see how things relate. But this scripture says in Colossians 1, verse 13, in New Living Translation, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. This includes you, me, who were," what? "Far away from God." In other words, thank God for Jesus. Because we are not with God in heavenly places at one time. And God was like feeling all like, man, I missed something. It's kind of all jittery, and I'm saying this reverently. But God missed us. Yes? So the plan was already in place. Jesus! Man, do you miss something? Yes, I miss something. Oh, Holy Spirit, what do you say? Oh, man. The circuit of beneficence between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each moving towards the other. God loving the Father, God the Father loving the Son loving the Holy Spirit, and round and round it went, an active circle, a circuit. And then they bring in humanity as part of that circuit. And now that piece is missing. Man, you better believe they miss something. They miss something. And so, while we were far off enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, yet, hallelujah, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Amen. Do you appreciate this? Dwelling with him in the heavenly? But here's a warning. You must continue to believe this truth and firmly stand in it. Don't drift away from it, from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't think now all of a sudden now you got it made. Stay there. Continue to believe. Be a testimony to others. Let people see the goodness of God in you. God is working on you. You know, I've never gone scuba diving. I mean, every now and then it's popped up in my mind, but not now, maybe when I was younger. How many of you have scuba dived? Okay, one person. In scuba diving, those of you who know about it, If you stay down for a long time, you can't come back up too fast. You have to gradually, and you have to learn these techniques and all that, and slowly come back up, so that by the time you come back up, the atmospheric pressure is more or less equivalent to where you were before. So you don't, it doesn't blow your brains out. It could even kill you. Jesus Christ, in raising us up from the grave with him and taking us to sit with him in the heavenlies, he needs to, he cannot, if he had just snatched us right now the way we are and taken us to heaven, man, it would blow our brains out. We cannot survive in that presence. So now, while we dwell with him up there by faith, as our representative, he must now make us into his likeness. He must now equilibrate us to that heavenly atmosphere in reality, so that one day he could carry us safely now to be there with him physically. But until then, don't resist his working in your heart and in your life. Praise God. And so, my friends, so we're going to wind this thing down. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many of you want that? How many of you want to know God in such an intimate way? Well, then dwell with him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the call of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of God, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He's the one who is doing this thing, not you, not me. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above every principality and power and might and dominion and every name which is named, not only in the world, but also which is to come. This is him doing it. Him that is doing it. And let me tell you something. Just as how God had enough power to raise Christ up from the dead, Christ himself has enough power to raise himself from the dead and sit with the Father in heavenly places. And that power is available to you and me to raise us out of this wretched world and sit us there with him together in the heavenlies. So, and it doesn't matter what you're going through down here. You could still be with Christ up there. The bills may be piling up. Children may be wayward. I mean, and some of us, we are caught up in some mess. Me included. In some mess. We watch shows that are totally degenerating. Our children are watching stuff. Now this technology is just a mess. And our minds are becoming more and more degenerated. And rather than going up with him to sit with him up there, we're going further down and down. But I tell you one thing. The Bible says that Christ is lifted up far above every power. And if you sit with him there, if you encourage your children and demonstrate to them by your life what it means to sit in Christ, in the heavenlies, by God's grace, they will join you up there. Sit that with Christ in the heavenly places, because he is already high above them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in us. The life of Jesus. Do you want his life or not? Do you have his life or not? If you dwell with him together in the heavenly places, well, how did you get there? Well, you were raised with him in the heavenly, from the tomb. Yes? The life you now live is his life. And so if you desire this, you have it. Amen. You don't have to go looking around, where is it over there? No. It's there in your mouth. Confess it and believe it in your heart. And it is so. Persecuted but not forsaken. So it doesn't matter what the persecution. There's coming a time when the people of God, you think it's persecution now? We are going to see something that we have never seen. That's what the Bible says. But even then, the life of Christ revealed in us will overcome and will stand strong. Yes, my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus and his. I do not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Every other ground is sinking sand. Oh, friends, the days are coming and they are right upon us. When this world is going to collapse on us. And what do you say? Would you be in Christ? Are you risen with him? Buried with him, Colossians 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven, have mercy, all your trespasses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, hallelujah, seek those things which are below. Oh, which are above. We are who? We are Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Oh, friends, Tanya had a situation where she was in a rough place over there in St. Louis. Her address was known as a terrible place. But she, even in that place, was dwelling with Christ in the heavenlies. And so, our last slide here is a familiar scripture, Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that what? That keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You don't keep the commandments of God without the faith of Jesus. It is his faith that keeps you and makes you keep. In fact, one second. You are dead. So it is his faith, his life, that keeps the commandments of God in you if you would let him. And the only way you could do that is if you live with him where? If you sit with him where? In the heavenlies. Oh, friends. Some of us, I'm sure, we have seen the riding, the little perch with thing, footprints, right? How many of you have some of you may have it on your wall, footprints, right? Footprints. Do you know what I'm talking about? This is a little nice poem. I used to hang it on my wall back in New York, footprints, right? It's beautiful. Beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful until you appreciate or you come to appreciate that the good news is even better than you think. Somebody wrote that poem. Footprints goes like this. You're going through life and there are two sets of footprints on the sand, right? And everything is going well and good. You say, Jesus Christ is with me, I'm so happy. Oh, life is good. And then trouble comes, but trouble comes with a vengeance, right? like we're going to be seeing in a little while here in this world. And then you see one set of footprints. And then you get all upset. I can't believe this. Now that I need him to be with me really and truly, now when it's my worst time, my worst day, my worst experience, he's gone. Friends, footprint says, no, that's his footprints you're seeing. He is now carrying you. That's a deficient gospel. The gospel, truthfully and in reality, is that there is always and only been one set of footprints. You are dwelling in Christ, seated with him, in him, in heavenlies. And the moment you think that your footstep is right there, hanging out with Christ, step by step, you're walking together, you are wrong. Christ has carried you yesterday. He's carried you the day you were born. He's carried you before you came in your mother's womb. He's carrying you right now. He is always the one carrying you, so that no matter what the circumstances are, he is the only footprint in the sand. Because you're always in him. Now, if you want to take yourself out of him and say, well, I'm just going to walk with you. Now, it's nice to walk with him if you know what that means. But if you're thinking that your faith is so good that you could match up with Jesus Christ and, we could talk, you're going to fail. The footprints on the sand only represent Jesus' footprints. Because if there was ever a day when your footprints were there, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. So I pray that as you consider Christ today, that you will remain where God put you, in Christ, and stay there in the midst of the worst circumstances. Stay there in the midst of the best of circumstances. Stay there because Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He has carried you. He will carry you. He is carrying you. He will forget forever.
Number 318, Whiter Than Snow.
Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down. patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. Take those cherubs so that thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
How many of you want to make a commitment? Join me in making a commitment today to God that you really believe this thing. If you're struggling to believe it, you want to believe it. How many of you today want to accept where God put you in Christ, seated with him in heavenly places? If you're struggling with it, talk to us after church. Talk to the elders, talk to myself, the pastor. So we could sit with you and share with you the goodness of God. And folks, one of the things I wanted to say is make your homes, create a heavenly atmosphere in your homes. The food you eat, the words you use, what you watch, how you invite people into your home and let them experience heaven on earth. As we pray now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear a word from you. I pray that you would so fasten your words upon our hearts that Christ himself will become so real to us, that every word that we speak, every breath that we breathe, every step that we take will be ordered and fashioned by Jesus. As we leave this place, may we carry you with us. May our homes be such a place where people could experience heavenly places. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.